Romans, the fifth chapter, and certainly the only way we'll make it is by the blood of the precious Lamb of Jesus Christ. And it goes right with our message this morning, so you pray for us while we stand before you. Romans, the fifth chapter, if you would go down with us, starting at verse 12, reading more this morning than we normally do, but you just bear with us today. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Amen. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's a lot of reading this morning, but a lot of good scripture. And it ought to make a child of God rejoice this morning and give hope to those that are still lost, that they don't have to stay lost. This morning, God laid this on my heart, and I've wrestled with it, but my text today is, why would God allow Jesus to die for our sins? Have you ever thought or wondered, why would God allow His only begotten Son to go through the shame and the mockery of dying upon a cursed tree for your sins and for mine? Why would He allow this to happen? And even though He says in the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter and the 10th verse that it pleased God to bruise Him, He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Why would God allow His begotten, only begotten Son to die on a cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine? And why would it please God that His Son would carry the sin burden of all of humanity upon His shoulders so that you and I could go free? Sometimes I think about that song that Rob sings, "If I had to watch my only son." And today I can say without any reservation that I could not give one of my sons to die for the sins of this world, to a world that doesn't even appreciate what God has done for us, a world that makes a mockery out of our Lord and Savior's name, and why He would allow Jesus to come to pay our debt is beyond my understanding. I believe if it were I'd look at this world and say, "You're not worthy that my son would come and die." But the scriptures that we read talked about Adam's disobedience and the fall of mankind. Because of Adam's disobedience, sin was pronounced unto all mankind. It's not necessarily our sins that we had to be saved from. It's the sins that is inherent into us because of the fall of Adam. When Adam fell, I believe it grieved God. I believe that God, when he come there in the garden, knowing that Adam and Eve had taken of that forbidden fruit, that God come with heaviness of heart. That he come there expecting and looking for a time that they could have communion and have a conversation. Because you remember, the Bible says in the cool of the day, God come walking in the garden. Other times he probably come looking forward to seeing Adam and Eve. But after the fall, I believe he came with a broken heart. That man had listened to a lesser God and followed the lesser God and took of that fruit, and now his eyes were opened. And God knew that when he come there, that he was going to have to put him out of the garden. How many of us as parents can realize and understand this, that when one of our children have failed, it grieved us. And to know that punishment had to be associated with what was done, it broke our heart. But God knew that Adam and Eve could no longer stay in the garden, that they had to be put out. And when they was put out of the garden, he told him, by the sweat of your brow shall you till the ground. Thorns and thistles shall grow up. He had never had to work until he fell by the lesser God. And he told Eve, he said, in childbearing shall you have pain, the labor that shall be associated with it. You see, the fall brought separation from God. It brought a place that man had never experienced before. But God, in his wisdom and foreknowledge, made a way that man could get back to God. He made a way, the precursor being the law that brought man to the knowledge of sin. But just being brought to the knowledge of sin wasn't full fellowship with God. It took more. God had to send his only begotten Son to die upon a cross at Calvary for our sins. No one else could pay that debt. In the book of Revelations, it says that they was grieving because no one was found worthy to unloose the seals of the book. But then they brought good news. He said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is found worthy to go, and if you'll have it this morning, to paraphrase, to pay the sin debt that you and I owed. Why would God allow Jesus to come and die for our sins? And the number one reason I believe that God allowed him to come is because of his love for mankind. God loves his children. Amen? He loves them. And John, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse says, the greater love than have no man than of that a man will lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved us. God loved us. And he knew without sharing that love that we would die and go to hell for all eternity. We don't want to see anybody that we love go through hard times. We don't want to see anybody that we love be pronounced unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. God loved us so much that he says in the 8th verse of our reading this morning, that while we were yet sinners, God commended his love to us. God loves you today. God loves us this morning. Sometimes we feel like that nobody really cares about us.
But God loves you more than anybody else could ever love you. More than mom and dad or brother or sister. And he summed it up in the book of John in the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us today. And I feel that love. Don't you this morning? I felt the love when I was lost and the preacher was preaching and I felt condemned and that I was going to die and go to hell. But I'm glad that God doesn't leave us there. But he tells us about the love that God has to us. No matter where you have been, no matter how deep in sin you may have trod, God still loves you today. That ought to make us want to rejoice on a Sunday morning, knowing that we all was once sinners. None of us can look at anybody else and say, "You get what you deserve." We was just as doomed to hell as this world is today. But praise God, he loved a sinner like me so much that he would allow his son to come and pay my sin debt. He didn't pay part of it. He paid all of it today, church, for everything from the fall of Adam. And then how many of us know it just wasn't the sin of Adam, but we had sin in our own life that had to be paid for. Jesus paid it all. And Sarah, I was thinking about that song yesterday. "And all to him I owe." He paid the full debt because he loved you and I. He also allowed Jesus to come because he is a merciful God. When we didn't deserve it, God showed mercy. Exodus 34:6 says, "God is merciful." How many of you are thankful that he showed mercy and not demanded that we pay for our sins? But he showed mercy to us. He said, even though you deserve to die and go to hell, even though you deserve, as he told Adam and Eve there, "You've done everything against my word and you deserve what is coming to you," God was merciful to you and I this morning. We ought to thank him. And as David said in the book of Psalms, that his mercy endureth forever. It's not just short term. But every day I wake up to the mercy of God. How many of us know today we don't deserve what God has given to us? We don't deserve the relationship that we have with God, but he is merciful to us. And then he says in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter in the 6th verse, he said, "Our iniquity is purged by God's great mercy today." All that we ever did, church, this ought to make us rejoice on a Sunday morning. All we ever did is put away from us, never to be remembered again. People won't let you forget what you've done. Even the devil will keep bringing it up, all the failures that we've had. But praise God, when God forgives us, he puts us as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again, never to be said to us, "Look at your failures, look at your shortcomings." But you know what God says? He said, "That is forgiven and it is forgotten about today." And we thank him for it. Just like the publican, when they went there in the book of Luke to the house of worship, and they was there and all those was praying their great prayers, bragging upon themselves. The publican couldn't even look up, but he just smote himself upon his breast and said, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." Today, you and I, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. There's all of us together don't have enough righteousness to get one soul into heaven. But praise God, He is merciful to each and every one of us. And His mercy, as I read that scripture in the 8th verse, His mercy endureth forever. It's not short-term, Ron Ball, but it's His mercy. As long as we're in this world, God will show us mercy. Amen? And you say, well, that means that gives you the permission or the right to sin. I believe if you're right with God, you don't want to sin. Because mercy, every time the Bible says it, if I can paraphrase it, every time we that are saved know to do right and we don't do it, that it is sin, and that we openly crucify Christ all over again. But praise God, He died that you and I might have mercy beyond understanding. I don't understand why He shows us mercy. He is the righteous judge. But I don't understand why God looks at some of the heinous things going on. Some of the great sins that's being committed. And I say that this morning, sin is sin in the eyes of God. But in the eyes of man, we categorize sin, don't we? We say that there are little sins and big sins. God says no. It's all sin. And it's hard to believe that some of our people today that have never experienced the mercy of God, a lot of good people that are going to spend eternity in hell if they don't get saved, right along with those that commit those heinous sins that we hear about upon the news and in our society today. Today, I don't believe, or let me restate this. Those that hurt little children, I believe they ought to pay the penalty for it. And then you say, Roger, you're harsh. Take the innocence from a little child. Folks, I'm trying to be nice this morning in my message, but you know what? I believe there ought to be a special place in hell for those that hurt these little children. For those that rape them and cause all kinds of harm to come to these little children. I believe that, and you know, you didn't made me, you, I'm preaching this morning stuff you didn't know about the pastor. But instead of giving them a chemical castration, I believe they ought to take them out and just shoot them. Amen? Because the Bible tells us an eye for an eye. You know, if a man was to, under the law, was to strike a woman that was with child, and that child would die, that man's life for that child. You say, you believe in corporal punishment? Folks, I could never stand and watch somebody be put to death. But, unless it was somebody who did something to one of my children or grandchildren. But let me tell you, God is a righteous God, but He also demands a payment for sin. You say, Roger, get back to your message. God allowed Jesus to die because He is a gracious God. He shows grace, and He has shown grace us to us many, many times over. In Exodus 22 and 27, God said, I am a gracious God. He shows grace. Thank God for grace and mercy. And you say, why would He show mercy and grace and all these other things that you're preaching about this morning? And it comes down to our first one this morning, and that's because of love. You know, love covers a multitude of sin. Amen? Our parents let, us as parents today, sometimes we love our kids too much. That'll make a church quiet. We love them too much because we let them get by with things that we ought not to. How many parents will confess on a Sunday morning? We let them get by with too much because we love them. But God is gracious. In fact, David said in the book of Psalms that God is full of grace. And He shows it to us every day. Every day, grace and mercy comes to your house and to my house. But how could God have so much grace that he would allow his son to die for your sins and mine? I could not pick one of my children over another one. A few months ago here at the church, our oldest son was here. And for some reason in the message I said that, you know, the firstborn has a special place in our hearts. And you know what he did? He sent a note to his brother and sister and said, "Dad preached, I'm the favorite." That's not what Dad preached. I could not pick one of my children over another one. But God allowed his only begotten son to leave heaven, come down to a world that was full of sin and disgrace, and walk amongst this, the people that never really recognized him for who he was. And then kill him on a cross so that God could restore man back to God. He's also, he allowed him to die because God is a compassionate God. Psalms, David said, God is full of compassion. You know what compassion is? Compassion is when you see somebody going through something and your heart melts for them. You know what God saw? He saw a world of sinners dying and going to hell. And it gripped God's heart. It gripped God's heart. God knew in the future that if he did not have a plan of redemption, that all of us and all of them before us and all of them after us would die and go to hell. And it grieved God's heart. And God made a plan that included before. Let me be emphatical about this morning. Christ and Calvary was not an afterthought. Before man ever sinned, God had already had his son walking up Calvary's hill because he knew that man could sin. Not that he would, but he could. And if he sinned, there had to be an atonement. And it started before man was ever created. You see, who was the prince of this world but the devil himself? The Bible says, not only did God allow Jesus to die for our sins, why would he do that? Because he is a forgiving God. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, God said, I will forgive sins. And in 1 John 1 and 9, he said he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is a forgiving God. How many of us have been forgiven over and over and over again? Amen? That's why Jesus died. So that we could have forgiveness for our sins. Because without his death, there would be no atonement to cover your sins and mine. That breaks my heart this morning. To know that God is so forgiving. And yet, as many times as he forgives us, sometimes we still go back to the mire that he pulled us out of. Sometimes we still sin. And people say, well, this is Sunday morning. This is all the good people. Even good people sin by the sin of omission or the sin of admission. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus had to come. He had to come. And God laid this upon my heart, so I'll share it with you. God had to send Jesus into this world to bring hope for a hopeless society. People that was hopeless. People that had no foresight to the future. People that, in fact, one scripture says it like this, that if there is no God, that we might as well eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow we die. That sounds hopeless, don't it? But praise God, he sent Jesus to put hope in our lives. That where the world says we're failures, and even the law says we're failures, and even the church may look at us and say, you don't deserve it. But God says, but let me be the judge. I'm the one who sent my son to die for him. And I am the righteous judge. You see, in our scripture reading here in the book of Romans this morning, God sent his son to defeat death. In fact, it says in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in the 26th verse, that the last enemy to be defeated is death. Some of you might look at me and say, but Roger, people die every day. Lord, I believe when he said that, he's not talking about the natural death. He is talking about the spiritual death. The natural death, we're all going to die. Every one of us. But yet, if you've been born again, we're not going to die. We're just going to go to sleep. But he sent his son to destroy death. In fact, in the book of Revelations, it tells us like this in the 21st chapter. It says unto us in the 4th verse, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Praise God, we're going to live for eternity. This body's going back to the dust from which it came from. But when I draw my last breath, God is going to speak and he's going to command that my soul, my spirit is going to take a flight toward heaven. And it's not just Christians that's going to live for eternity. Even those that are lost are going to live for eternity. You see, for us that believe, we take up what God's sent in to this world. We believe upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For those that die lost and undone, what they're doing is they're walking over the blood that was shed for their sins. They're saying, I want no part of it. Folks, let me again reaffirm to you, the best thing that ever happened to me was when God knocked upon my heart's door and I surrendered my life into his hands and I realized, God, this God sending Jesus to die on a cross is not a fairy tale, but it is real today. How do you know it's real? Because it's real in my heart and in my soul. You see, the first Adam, when he came, he lost the relationship with God. The first Adam brought transgression against God. The first Adam brought his and took away his sinless state that he had. Up until that time, Adam and Eve was sinless. And I believe this morning. If they had never sinned, they would have stayed in that garden forever. Forever. But because sin came in, God drove them out. And he put those swords there to keep them from going back in. Because you see, if they went back in, they would forever live in their sinless and sinful state. But God says you can't be whole and sin. You're either one or the other. The first Adam was disobedience, brought transgression and death. The second Adam, hallelujah, he brought grace, justification. And by his obedience, you and I are healed today. The second Adam brought life to us where once death reigned. You see, God sent his son, Adam, his son, his only begotten son, the second Adam, into this world as a man to take back from Satan everything that the first Adam lost. And for that, we ought to say, thank God. You know what he did? He sent a man to take back everything the first man, Satan, lost in. Everything that the first man lost, here come the second man. Without sin, without blemish or spot. Here he came and he walked right upon this world, and he proclaimed by his word and his deed and by his life. The first Adam was sinful, but here come a man that knew no sin. He come, he lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross so that you and I on a Sunday morning could sit in a church house and say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have shown to us. Today, as Rob and Sharon gets us a song, you may have lost some things to Satan. You may have lost some things that Satan has come and taken away from your life. Even as children of God, there's times Satan comes along and steals our joy. There's times that he comes along and says, you've done too much for God to ever forgive you. He comes along and says, you can't go back. You can't go back to God. God doesn't want anything to do with you. But today, as I preach this message this morning, the same God that loved me when I was lost and undone is the same God that loves me today. In fact, who does God love more, a saved child of God or a sinner? And the answer is very simple. He loves all of us the same, every one of us. But you and I today that sin, God still loves you. God still loves you. Sometimes Satan will make you feel like nobody cares about me. If I live, so be it. If I die, so be it. Nobody really cares about me. Let me preach to you this Sunday morning. God knows everything about your life. He sees your shortcomings and your failures. But just like a parent ought to be, and I said ought to be, my children and some of your children have gone against what they've been taught. Am I preaching the truth? But it does not decrease my love for my child. I can't love them less. They're mine. God loaned them to us for a little spell of time. But in likeness this morning, even in spite of my failures and my shortcomings, I believe God still looks down upon this poor boy and says, that's my child. And I love him. I love him. There's times I don't love his ways, but I still love him. There's times I wish he would do better, but I still love him. There's times when he feels like giving up, but I still love him. And there's been times when he has failed me miserably, but I still love him. You see, unless God turns you over to a hardness of heart and reprobate mind, everything that Satan has messed up, God can fix. Amen. Amen. How many of us today on this Sunday morning will confess God has taken the broken pieces of our life and he put love to them and he put it all back together? Some of you may think, you know, we look at people, we think, man, they got it all together. Folks, none of us has it all together. God holds us. And every time we make a mistake, he takes that clay and he molds it and he makes it into a vessel of honor. And that's where we are at today. I don't understand why God would allow his son to die for our sins. I don't understand it. I don't have love like God does. You say you love people. Folks, none of us knows how much God loves us, but it's more than you could ever imagine. We can't even begin to fathom. How many of you mothers or fathers could give one of your children for a world full of sinners. We couldn't do it. But God loved you and I so much that when he heard that ring out through heaven, my son's going to go and pay the price for their sins. In fact, he's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. God, I don't believe God was happy about his son going away. But he was looking forward to his son coming back home. He was looking forward to that. And even though he could have communion with him while he was here on this earth, there was emptiness in heaven because the son was gone. But folks, let me tell you, I believe this with all my heart. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and after the 40 days, he ascended back to the Father, I believe there was celebration in the halls of heaven. Here is the one that went and paid the sin debt for all of mankind. And now he's back home with the Father. He's back home. Today, God loves you. He loves you more than you even love yourself. And the Bible says that there's not a man that's never loved himself. God loves you. He loves you. And God will restore. God will heal. God will give you hope. He will take all the things that are wrong and he can make them right. Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song on this Sunday morning? How is it with your heart today? Has it been a while since you've heard that God loves you? Has Satan got you tricked into thinking that there's no hope for you? That you're just about as good as you're ever going to be? You see, Satan will use it against you. God will forgive it. Bring your heart to the Lord this morning. If you've never trusted him, bring it to him today. And ask him to help you. Yes. Let me share this with you, then we'll close. See, the first Adam, he gave Satan the keys to death. He gave it to him. The second Adam came calling. The second Adam took the keys of death and hell away from Satan. Oh. That moves my heart today. What he did by doing that is he said that you have no reign over the mankind anymore. But they can choose to have life. It's up to us. It's individual to this morning. Whether we choose life or we stay in that dead state that we was in. Because he said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But just one last verse. I ask you today. If you've never really trusted God as your Savior. Would you make this that day that you get to feel that love that God has towards you? Or if you're here and you've just messed up. How many of us messed up along life's journey? But you know what we found when God saved us? Brother Charlie, he said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. I've had to go back to that altar and cry out, Lord, it's me and I failed you.
I'm sorry, and ask for forgiveness. I don't believe there's a one of us that hasn't gone back and that cried a similar prayer. Don't be too proud this morning to allow God to move in your heart while you feel Him. One last verse, Rob. Anybody at all this morning? Anyone that's tired of Satan running your life? God wants to make it right. My unbelief. Sing it, church. Savior. Savior. Hear my humble cry. He'll hear you this morning. While on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Yeah.
Do not pass me by.
Amen. I don't understand it, but I'm thankful that God was willing to allow His Son to die for my sins. I just can't begin to understand. When I see all of these people that are just so evil. You know, the one that our president ordered to be killed this past week. Was it this past week? Week before? The man was a devil. Killed all those people. Not just our people, but even some in his own country. And yet we have people stand up and say, he wasn't that bad of a person. You know, sin blinds. It blinds. And even that man, if he would have called upon the Lord and asked for forgiveness, God would have saved him. I believe that. But you see, you can go so far away from God that you are turned over to a hardness of heart and reprobate mind. And God won't deal with you no more. He won't deal with you no more. And then it's your choosing that caused you to die and go to hell for eternity. This morning, Rob, while you're there, I know it pleased the girls. If y'all would, sing happy birthday to them, Zoe and Reese and Rachel. And they, at their age, birthdays are special. At our age, it's not so much, right?